Welcome to Pod Summarizer, the way to summarize your favorite podcasts. Today, we have a summary of Jay Shetty podcast. In this episode, Emmy Award-winning journalist Tamsin Fadel discusses the often taboo topic of menopause, shedding light on its significance for both women and men. The conversation explores the challenges surrounding women's health and the importance of understanding this natural phase of life. Remember to follow us on our website, podsummarizer.xyz. And now, let's begin.
Hey everyone, welcome back to On Purpose, the number one health podcast in the world. Thanks to each and every one of you that come back every week to listen, learn, and grow. Today's guest is going to talk to us about a subject that I've been fascinated by for a long, long time. It's something that I have a lot of questions about, something that I don't know that much about, and something that every single person we love is going to go through. Today's guest is Tamsin Fadel, an Emmy award-winning journalist and the New York Times best-selling author of How to Menopause. She's also the producer of the acclaimed documentary, The M Factor, and host of the Tamsin Show podcast, Purpose, Tamsin Fadel. Tamsin, thank you so much for being here. I said this to you off camera, I'm gonna say it again. I'm so excited for this conversation. I feel so much has been lost when it comes to women's health, men's understanding of it, and the ability for women to take charge of their health, but also for men to be understanding, supportive, and recognizing what a big thing it is. And I'm so grateful that you wrote this book, How to Menopause, that I highly recommend everyone gets. But thank you so much for being here, truly.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be talking about this because it is so important for men to hear this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I want to start off by, I have a ton of questions for you. And like, usually when I interview someone, I have some understanding or some knowledge of the area. I have nothing, which is great place for me to be in because I feel like it's going to give a lot of people the opportunity to learn. And the first question I wanted to ask you is, why is menopause still treated as such a taboo topic when it comes to everyday conversation and everyday life?
It's such a great question. And I think I have struggled with it for so long myself. Look, I think it's wrapped up in a few things. I think it's wrapped up in ageism and sexism. And I also think this is a time in life where we've just kind of said goodbye to women after the reproductive years. We look at women that are in midlife and we say, wow, their best years are behind them. Society has done that for a very, very long time, especially here in the US. And that's kind of what the medical system has done as well. So we have put the word menopause and taboo together for so long. And my goal is to separate those two things so we're never saying those two things together.
It doesn't get the spotlight it deserves when every woman we know is going to experience it at some point in their life. And talk to us about how long it lasts. Like just break down the taboo of how long is it going to last? When does it happen? For everyone who's like starting from scratch like me, like what is it like?
Help somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it was really shocking to me. I spent 30 years in the news business and I had never said the word menopause that I remember on television.
Wow.
And that tells you a lot. We talked about all sorts of studies. We talked about health studies. We talked about diets. We talked about everything. Menopause and women's health were not the things we discussed. And that goes to your first question about how taboo it has been for such a long time. When I actually found out I was in menopause, I got a very simple note from my doctor saying, in menopause, any questions? And no real answers after that. So I started digging into it to figure out what was going on. And I quickly learned 1 billion women across the world were going to be in menopause by this year. And I thought, okay, well, what is it? So we'll break it down really simply because I always think it's the best way to do it. Perimenopause is that time leading up to menopause. 4 to 10 years of struggle, of hormone changes, of not knowing exactly what's going on with your body, of all different type of symptoms, not just hot flashes. When you hit menopause, that means that you've gone 1 year without your period. And then everything after that is postmenopause. All the symptoms haven't stopped yet, but that could be a third to half of your life that we're talking about. So when you think about how long a woman is going through this transition, this next season, and the fact that we have such little information about it, it was just shocking to me.
And talk to me about what are the symptoms, like what's someone experiencing at this time? Because as a man, we're so disconnected from women's health already. And then this is, like you said, this is a underspoken about area. Like what are the symptoms? What are women experiencing? What are they going through on a biological and chemical level, but also on an emotional level as well.
I'm glad you said that, because emotional is the big thing. And I think it gets overlooked quite often, because we talk about hot flashes and we talk about irregular periods and we talk about brain fog. And I think for me, brain fog was probably the most debilitating of the symptoms, because it gets wrapped up with a lot of things. I had anxiety, mood swings. A woman can go through weight changes. When you talk about brain fog, you could be reading a book and not remember the plot of the book. You could be having a conversation like this. I could be sitting here, Jay, across from you 3 years ago. I probably wouldn't be able to have this kind of conversation with you without feeling like, hey, could I stop and try to remember what I was talking about? You go through joint pain. You can go through itchy skin, dryness all over, low libido. So if you think about one day you're going along just fine in life, right? You're in your 30s, you're doing great, you're maybe in the height of your career, you're on your way to wherever you want to be, you're in a relationship, and you might start to see some of these symptoms crop up. You're not sleeping as well anymore. That's a big one. You're gaining weight around the middle, but you've been eating the same and really working out. So you wake up, and what I heard over and over from women when I was researching this is that I don't feel like myself anymore. I look in the mirror and I don't recognize myself. And that to me was one of the most hurtful things that I could hear, because I understood exactly what they were talking about. One day I woke up and I was like, I'm a shell of who I am, and I don't know how to find the light switch in this room. I just am in the dark.
I mean, that sounds like truly one of the most difficult, challenging experiences anyone could go through. And we're saying everyone's going to go through it for nearly a decade, potentially. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that every woman we know is going to go through this, the fact that it's going to affect them physically, mentally, and emotionally to the point that it can be debilitating, mm-hmm. to how you just spoken about, what are we seeing a correspondence with when we look at women's health at this age and when they're going through this process? How is that affecting their work, their career, their family, and everything else that comes with it? Like, what's happening when, because I think sometimes when we talk about health, we kind of talk about it in this silo, mm-hmm. of like, here's what's happening chemically, here's what's happening with the hormones, but this is having real life impact. Mm-hmm. Is there any correlation between menopause and divorce, break? Like, talk to me about the real life impact of it.
It's such a good topic, because it doesn't just happen in the doctor's office. You could go to the doctor's office and have the conversation, but once you leave there, you have to think about the whole 360 of it. And it really is what I get excited to talk about, because I think that we feel very lost during this time as women. We're in our career and maybe we're hit with perimenopause and going into menopause. And we could be showing up to work, not being able to have a conversation. We don't know how do you go into your boss and say, hey, I might be in perimenopause for 7 years. I think that for a lot of women, they're starting to realize that we're normalizing the conversation. We're definitely not having the silence that we had before, but it can really impact you at work. It can show up in a lot of different ways. And what I've been fighting against is making sure that it doesn't penalize women either. We don't want that to hurt women. Women at this point are at the height of their careers. We want companies to retain women, hold on to women. They have some of the greatest wisdom they could ever have during these times and beyond. So I think it's really important for women to be able to get a hold and understand what's going on, so they're not going through this journey just kind of blindly, which is what's been happening.
With the realization that women are navigating these challenges in the workplace, the conversation shifts to the often overlooked symptoms of perimenopause, shedding light on how they manifest in daily life.
A lot of times women will go to the doctor and the doctor will say, it's just stress. Calm down a little bit. It'll be okay. Instead of, hey, you're 41, you know, do you have any other these 30 plus symptoms? Maybe it's perimenopause. The other big one I would say is sleep disruption. That's huge. I was somebody that used to be able to sleep all the time. I've heard women that say, oh my gosh, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm up and I can't go back to sleep, or I can't even get to sleep. And that again is something else. Try to go to work and you'll have 5 days like that of not being able to sleep. And then you start to understand what's going on. And you just don't feel like yourself. And, you know, I think the third one is more of mood changes. There can be anxiety, there can be rage, there can be depression. And there's a lot of things like that that happen during this time. So I think those are the top three that you see in perimenopause. And the other ones come along. You know, we've all heard of hot flashes. We know a lot about weight gain that starts to happen. But those are three big ones. And I think that those are three very difficult ones as you're coming up against those.
And what's the difference between perimenopause and menopause?
Yeah, so perimenopause, you're still getting your period. It's all the time leading up to menopause. When you hit menopause, That's that one day after 12 months without your period, and then you're not getting your period any longer. So these are still your reproductive years, but you're in perimenopause, and those can overlap a lot of things. You know, women can get pregnant in perimenopause. Once you hit menopause, you're no longer having a cycle. And then everything after that, you're considered menopause. And some people call it postmenopausal. I just say menopause because it's easier for me to remember when I do have brain fog. You know, I think that it's important to know that perimenopause feels very unpredictable. It feels very confusing because you've been fine up until then. And you could be in your late 30s and you're thinking, I'm too young for this. How could I be dealing with this? But when those hormonal fluctuations start, you start seeing some of these changes. And I don't think we were really ever taught that. You know, you asked earlier, what are some of the things that young women, you know, they were taught, you're going to get your period. If you decide you want to have children, you're going to go through your pregnancy. And then we kind of fall off the map, not only in society, but also in the medical system.
Yeah. And then what are the symptoms of menopause then?
So the symptoms of menopause, you can still have a lot of these symptoms that can go right through. And some start to wane off a little bit. And some women can have hot flashes in their 80s. And it just depends if you decide, you know, how you're going to treat them, what symptoms are important for you to treat. Hormone therapy is one of the options that has been named and deemed by the Menopause Society as one of the most effective treatments for hot flashes and vaginal dryness. But I think that, you know, it's important to know what works for you. Not everybody, as we said, is going to be able to do everything or want to do everything. So I think it's been important first for me to go out there and educate women, because I'll tell you, I was clueless. I had no idea what was happening. And I really felt like I was crazy. And I would wake up in the morning and think like, oh my gosh, I got 2 hours of sleep and I've got to go to work. And I'd get to work and not remember what was going on or remember what I was supposed to be doing. And I hear so many stories of women in different, you know, places of work, or women that are also raising children at the same time or taking care of elderly parents, or they're in a relationship or they're in a new relationship. So it can be really difficult. And I think it's important to know that menopause is not just for older women. Young women go through menopause. I consider late 30s a young woman.
To me, it's just mind-boggling how women have been so resilient and strong to move in a world that isn't aware or is not talking about what they're going through on a daily basis, and just how many relationships that touches, and having so many people in your life who don't know what you're going through. I mean, this is the deepest form of feeling misunderstood, because you're going through something physically, mentally, emotionally, daily, and everyone you meet has no context of why you're behaving that way. And then you get labeled, oh, well, you know, she's just going through something, or whatever it may be, that disassociates you from the exact experience.
The truth is that you don't even know you're going through it yourself sometimes. It's not like you went into the doctor and they said, hey, at 35, you should start thinking about perimenopause because you might be going through some of these symptoms. Right now, we're trying to teach women to go to the doctor proactively and say, hey, these are my 10 symptoms. Could this be perimenopause? And that is my hope and dream, that one day there will be this baseline, like we talk about mammograms, like we talk about other kind of tests that people are supposed to get when it comes to health and wellness, that we say, hey, maybe this is what you're going through. Maybe it's not stress. Maybe you don't need to just go home and, you know, and take a walk outside. Maybe it's something more than that. And it's not just you that's going through this. If we can get to that place, it would be just a really beautiful place. And I think it would end a lot of the suffering, because I don't think women should have to suffer during this time.
So that's really the first step. And I know in the book, you give a list of 34. Is it symptoms that people experience? And so I guess the first step is, if you feel any of those 34 things, go and have the conversation, because chances are your doctor or someone may not have the conversation with you proactively if you don't raise it.
100%. A lot of doctors aren't trained about this. And that was the other thing that was so shocking for me to learn. I think I was somebody who went to the doctor. This is what the doctor said. I went home and that's what we did. And what I realized over time is that as we looked into menopause and perimenopause, because of the fact that women's health has not been a priority past a certain age, in midlife mostly, after about 40 years old, a lot of doctors weren't trained about this. And to their own admission, OBGYNs, their specialty, sometimes got a day of training in medical school to talk about this. If you can imagine, all those years, and they've had to go out and learn for themselves. And so there are a lot of doctors that leave medical school and don't feel comfortable talking about something like this. So about 75% of women go in and their symptoms are left untreated as a result of that. And that number is staggering to me.
That was something I saw as well. I remember at a conference I was at, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a number that said something like only 2% of all medical research goes towards women's health. Was it? Is that right?
You're right. I would never correct you on that. That's so right.
That's right, right?
Yeah, it's like, unbelievable. And then if you look at that percentage, a tiny, tiny, tiny sliver of that goes to menopause and perimenopause. And I don't know about you, but I'd never heard the word perimenopause until I started saying it.
I haven't heard it since I followed you probably. So, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So, I mean, I went, wait, what's perimenopause? And so I think that the more we can say the word, the more we can get it out there. And it doesn't sound like this scary word. When I first started talking about it, I was told, you're going to blow up your career talking about menopause. You're going to age right out of your career.
With the staggering statistics on women's health lingering in the air, the conversation shifts to the various options available for managing menopause, including the often misunderstood hormone therapy.
The options, and there are some different options. Some women opt for lifestyle changes, solely lifestyle changes. That's what they want to do. Other women say, you know what? I need something more. I'm dealing with brain fog, the hot flashes. I'm having 15 of them a day. I can't deal with this anymore. Hormone therapy is a very viable option for a lot of women. There was a study that was done in 2002 that scared a lot of women. The Women's Health Initiative headlines came out that said estrogen causes breast cancer. That's essentially what the headlines were. That's what the media took away from it. And it scared women to death. About 44% of women in this country were on hormone therapy at the time. Literally, after those headlines came out, it dropped to about 4%, and we're right around 5% right now. That was 20 plus years ago. So that's why it's so important to get this message out. So hormone therapy is one of those options if you are eligible for hormone therapy. There are certain women, certain risk groups that are not. That's one option. It was very helpful for me. It was also something I wasn't sure about. I went back and forth and struggled for a long time whether or not that was going to be something I did. And at one point, my symptoms got so bad that that was what I opted to do.
Before we go to the others, what is hormone therapy and what does it include?
Hormone therapy is estrogen and progesterone. And both of those things have been extremely helpful for me with regard to mood, with regard to sleep, with regard to hot flashes. And, you know, we lose so much estrogen. Our estrogen doesn't go like this. It just kind of goes all over the place and then goes down. And so that has been very helpful, estrogen and progesterone. There's also testosterone if a woman decides to do that, if she's dealing with a low libido. And for me, that was something that came about a year later. I wanted to start on the two. I was a little nervous, honestly, because I didn't know what was going on and I'd never done anything like that before. And then there's also vaginal estrogen, which is a fourth component, which is helpful for painful sex or for low libido. So those are hormone therapy, menopausal hormone therapy, you can see it referred to as, or hormone replacement therapy.
Are there any side effects to hormone therapy?
It's been great for me. There's different women that have different things that, you know, they some women feel like they've been more emotional on it. There's some women that feel like the patch, if they're on a patch that has the glue, can be irritating to them. Look, there's always risk that comes with everything. But according to the Menopause Society, this is the most effective way to treat these symptoms. And for some women, these symptoms are debilitating, life-changing, and not things that we can say, oh, get through these years and then you'll be okay. Mm. And I think that's what's happened for a long time. You know, women in perimenopause don't think that hormone therapy is an option for them, and it can very well be an option.
And then what were the other solutions? Those lifestyle choices.
Yeah. So lifestyle is so important, I think, to talk about because as we see, only 4% of women really are on hormone therapy. So we look at the rest and we're saying, what are they doing? Are they struggling every day? So I look at a couple of things. I look at sleep as the number one priority, no matter what. I don't think you can do any of the other things if you don't get sleep, if you don't figure out how to prioritize that. And that became something really important to me. You know, I had to figure out a bedtime. I hadn't done that since I was young, but I really had to figure that out. I had to figure out a wake-up time. I had to figure out what not to do before going to bed. I started taking magnesium as a supplement because that was helpful to me before I was doing hormone therapy. Progesterone eventually really helped me get a good night's sleep. So sleep was my number one priority, and that took precedent over everything. And then after that, I looked at some of the other things. The second thing I really paid attention to was the protein I was putting in my body. I grew up as one of the ones that was like, I'll stay on the treadmill all day long, do my cardio, and I guess I'll lift some weights, but I don't really want to do that. Strength training now has risen to the top of my list. It's really, really important to protect your bone health. Like, I had no idea. And I don't think a lot of women did know that for a very long time. So that's important to figure out some type of routine. There's a lot of women that say, like, all right, I've been working out for a long time. But I think if you flip it a little bit and put strength training up there first to protect your bones, that's really critical. And then I think the third thing, if we look at some of the lifestyle changes that you would take, obviously we look at food and we look at inflammation and we look at trying to get control of that, because that is very, very real. And I didn't know how important that was. You know, in my 20s and 30s, I'm like, I'll eat what I want. I'll do what I want. I'll play how I want to play. And I'll worry about being older when I'm older. And so I get excited for women who are in their 30s right now that can say, all right, I'm going to look at inflammatory foods. I'm going to try to increase my fiber. I'm going to try to pay attention to what is causing bloating, because bloating is a big problem during this time. And I think also making sure that you're balanced too. Like, I don't get everything right all the time. You know, I try to establish as many healthy habits as I can, but I know it's not always going to be perfect. So you got to give yourself a little grace. And then I think the final thing would be stress management, which I know is easier said than done, but I think it's really, really important. And I think part of that comes with having somebody to talk to. I feel very sad when I look at the decades of women who felt they didn't have anybody to share this with. They didn't share it with families. Maybe they whispered about it with other women. And we went to DC at the end of last year, and we sat there with one of the lawmakers who said, this is the first time that we've uttered the word menopause out loud in this building. That's unbelievable to me.
So that's hormonal therapy, lifestyle choices?
Lifestyle changes, yes.
And
I understood friends for a very long time, understood friendship groups. I didn't understand the importance of having people that were going through something I was going through. And when I realized that, it changed everything for me. I have a core group of women right now where I can pick up the phone and say, hey, like, I am not myself, or wow, I feel terrible, or, you know, this weight is just making me feel different, or I can't sleep anymore. And so I think that that's a really important part of this process. And I'm excited to see how groups are coming together. One of my friends told me she started the Hottie Hotline with all these women that are going through perimenopause right now from college, and they're sharing their symptoms and going back and forth and having a conversation about it. And I think that's important.
I love that. I don't think anyone's ever put it that way before. And therefore, you can share notes, share your heart.
Yes.
And it's really hard as a man when you're completely unaware about this subject. I want to be educated, because the woman I love most in the world, my wife, is going to go through this. The other woman that I love most in the world, my mom, has already been through this. And I was maybe too young to be helpful or supportive, but I wish I was more understanding. And then I have a younger sister who's going to go through this. So when I look at it through the lens of my life, I'm thinking, wow, there are three women in my life that I love so much, and they're all going to experience this. One of them's already gone through it, and I probably have no clue what she struggled with at the time. And, you know, in one sense, it's quite hard to reflect on that. Mm-hmm. What do men need to know about menopause?
That's it for today. Got a podcast? Head over to podsummarizer.xyz and start summarizing it in seconds. See you there.